from the high desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be in your time zone, prolific as they may be around the world. I'm Stop Drive to Count. We cover them all anyway. This program, Coast to Coast AM, I'm honored and privileged to be your host for the weekend. I'm Art Bell. And tonight is Coast to Coast AM. Tomorrow night is Ghost to Ghost AM. Not that I would reject any ghost stories that might waft our way in the darkness of this night. Tomorrow night we will... Actually, the whole weekend's going to be, I think, about ghosts. We'll get to that in a moment. I have spent the last 3 hours! 3 hours! Changing every clock that I could find in the house. Tonight is the dreaded night of nonsense. The total nonsense of having to turn your clocks back. I rage against this twice a year, uselessly, but it makes me feel better. I have uncountable numbers. I didn't even bother to try and count them this time. They're in every piece of electronic gear and they're all over the house. I love clocks. I love time. I buy special clocks and and come twice a year, I have to change every damn one of them. And there is hours and hours of changing of clocks uselessly. And for what? I ask you, for what? Why are we doing this? Is it for the children to go to school? Is it for the farmers to get into the fields? Why in God's name do we do it? I don't know. Nobody knows. There's no real reason to be changing our clocks twice a year. The only sanity in the entire nation resting in Arizona and, I don't know, somewhere in the Midwest and, you know, a few places where they don't change, they revolt. Why do we do this? I would vote for a national candidate for office who would promise to change this. To return sanity to timekeeping in America. The world. Daylight savings time. Just, I don't care. Give us that. Give us what we're about to go to. But later on tonight in the darkness, we must all roll our clocks back 1 hour. All of our clocks. That means the clock on your refrigerator, your microwave, all of your VCRs, all the clocks you might have gathered around the house. And, oh, don't forget the vehicles. You've got lots of clocks out there, too. And yes, by now, you've probably forgotten the appropriate buttons to push to change the clocks, for many of them are actual mysteries, discernible only by opening the original manual, which you've probably lost by now. Anyway, I could go on and on, but you know, enough. Sometime or another, before I pass into the other world, somebody do it. Return the world to sanity and get rid of this godforsaken change twice a year. I can't stand it. I feel better. On my webcam photograph tonight is of a debate that we, of course, you know, we're about to vote for president. A whole lot more coming up Tuesday. And so we had a big debate here at KNYE 95.1 in Little Pahrump. It was a big debate, though, about 4 hours long with two very articulate friends of mine, Gregory Souza and Jim Watkins, and they did really well, just went at it for 4 hours on KNY about national issues, and oh, we had a ball. It was really a blast. Anyway, that photograph is not of the two of them, and that's what I should have put up, I suppose. Maybe I'll slip that up later. But one I just happened to run across, so I was in it, and so I threw it up there, and that was taken at KNYE. And, indeed, it is a national debate, for it's about to be a national election. As President Bush and John Kerry crisscrossed Midwest battleground states Saturday, a new poll seems to show the incumbent, our president, moving ahead of the Massachusetts senator in the popular vote. And Democrats said their private survey also now hints. Now, when the Democrats are hinting that there's momentum for the president, you know there really must be, because they'd be the last ones to admit that. A Newsweek poll showing Bush ahead of Kerry 50-44%. A week ago, the same survey had the race tied. The president briefly opened a small lead in an ABC poll, but it had vanished by Saturday night. Now, I wonder if the president gained points by the release of Osama's video and the threats and all the rest of it. And now in electoral votes may not be so close. President Bush and Senator Kerry are virtually tied, actually, in the Electoral College count, meaning the president, who is ahead in the polls right now, might win the popular vote but lose the election, fighting over 8 to 10 states that are so close and unpredictable that anything's possible Tuesday. After months of campaigning and $500 million spent on attack ads, Bush and Kerry are still at the whim of unexpected events. You have them in elections, like Osama bin Laden's sudden emergence on Friday, a videotape appearance that sent both candidates scrambling to pledge victory in the fight against terrorism. Probably, I would think it would help the president more than Kerry. A car bomb, it just goes on and on. A Fallujah car bomb killed 8 U.S. Marines outside Fallujah on Saturday, the deadliest attack thus far. In, well, I don't know, the last 6 months or so, Marines pounded guerrilla positions on the outskirts of Fallujah, where American forces are gearing up now for a major assault on the insurgent stronghold. They're going to do away with that final stronghold. A decapitated body, the news just in Iraq gets better and better, a decapitated body wrapped in an American flag and found in an insurgent-controlled section of Baghdad was that of a Japanese man kidnapped by Islamic militants, so I guess you wrap him in an American flag, and you send the message that, well, he helped Americans, and so now he's headless, right? The Army has extended a boy, I'll tell you what. I was in the Air Force, and I remember as my tour of duty finished, you get to be in the service in the military, what's called a short-timer, and boy, you start marking the days until you're out. And if something like this were to happen, a lot of guys would go berserk. The Army has extended by 2 months the Iraqi tours of about 6,500 soldiers, citing a need for experienced troops through the Iraqi elections scheduled now for late January. About 3,500 soldiers of the 2nd Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division, 3,000 from the 1st Infantry Division headquarters are going to remain in Iraq 2 months longer than originally planned. Kind of a smaller version of the stop-loss program where you're virtually told, you've just got to stay where you are. We'll be back with more in a moment. Now, you know, I'm a sun watcher. I'm a big sun watcher. I'm an amateur radio operator, and so I monitor the conditions on the shortwave frequencies. In fact, the frequencies in general, including some of the AM frequencies that you're probably listening to me on right now, they're all affected, as is all life, by what our sun does. And over the last 4, perhaps 5 weeks now, conditions have been interesting. The higher bands, normally closed at the lower part of the sunspot cycle, are wide open. You can talk to Africa with 5 watts of power. I mean, it's incredible during the day. But then at night, the lower frequencies, closer to the AM band, you might think of it that way, that are designed to be used regionally or just nationally, perhaps, well, they've been lousy. And people you can normally hear at 250 to 800 miles, gone. Just gone, all because of what our sun is doing. And you may recall, last weekend I told you that our sun was behaving strangely in that there had been a reported period of time with none, no sunspots, not even one sunspot. The sun was virtually an orange, clear ball with no blemishes at all. That's virtually unheard of. It rarely happens. It might indicate we're at a minimum in the sunspot cycle, and I reported that to you, and how strange conditions were, suggesting that even the AM station you listen to at some distance may not just be as normal. Tonight, by the way, would be another night when what you're usually listening to might just not even be there. Well, it's there, but you can't hear it because of what's going on in the ionosphere, or isn't. I don't know. But then, all of a sudden, October 30th, that would be today, right? Solar activity went berserk. That's right, solar flares. Solar flares increased sharply October 30th. The source is a fast-growing sunspot, number 691, which has unleashed several strong flares, including even a brief X flare. It looks like a machine gun going off. You know, looking at an X-ray chart from the sun is looking, in the last 4 or 5 weeks, it's been looking like a patient who was going to flatline. I mean, there was no activity at all. And then all of a sudden, today, like a machine gun, they went off. And once again, conditions are just absolutely reprehensible. But if you're a sun watcher, it's certainly interesting to see what our sun is doing. And it's behaving very strangely right now. Strangely indeed. But then again, it's almost Halloween, isn't it? So maybe it's part of that. Tonight, we're going to do EVP in the next hour, electronic voice phenomena. There is a new movie coming out. Did you know about it? Have you seen the previews for it? It's called White Noise. And guess what it's about? Starring Michael Keaton. It's all about none other than that which we're going to do this night, EVP. Apparently, they consulted a couple of people we've had on the program before, Tom and Lisa Butler, who are director of another group of EVP researchers, other than we're going to have on this night. We're consulted, I guess, for the movie, and it's going to be a big motion picture all about the voices of the dead being captured on electronic media. Now, this goes, and most people don't know it, but it goes all the way back to Alexander Graham Bell and those who invented the telephone and, you know, and various other electronic media that sprang from it. All of them thought they heard voices. Many early pioneers in telephone and radio thought it may well be a means to communication with those who have passed on. Indeed, it may be. And so tonight you will hear that which I'm fairly sharp from an electronic point of view, and I can find no hole, no possible reason in the world that I understand of radio and audio and electronics, no way that the voices you're going to hear tonight could get on this media. No way. There's just no way. Other than perhaps that which it seems to be. In many cases, you will hear contemporary things said, recognizing that the researchers are right there with their equipment. In other words, the dead trying to talk to us. It is, without question, the greatest mystery for mankind, and by that I mean what happens when we die, whether it's worms in and worms out, or whether there's a life after this life. Different people react very differently to that question. Religious people, I think, most would agree, well, of course there's a life after this one, though there may not be ghosts. They tend to believe more easily in them, in spirits, disembodied spirits, than do others. Me? I'm not sure. But I look at the kind of thing you're going to hear tonight with some respect. I really do respect this. I don't think it's hokey. I don't think it's a hoax or anything like it. I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's a radio station being heard. I think that these are real voices. Now, what they are voices of, I'm still personally struggling with that, but they are voices that are not, you know, I almost said not alive, and maybe they are voices of people who are not alive. Maybe they're voices of people who are alive, making it onto these, I don't know, but I'm telling you, it's inexplicable by any contemporary means that I understand. All right, a few phone calls. What do you say? Wildcard Line, you are on the air. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing, Art?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Pretty good. This is Aaron from the Cleveland area.
Yes, sir.
700 AM.
Yes.
I have to get two updates from you. how's the Bob Lazar situation going? And also, do you remember David Cerita was on your
program? Well, okay, one thing at a time. Bob's fine. I talked to Bob, I think, about 2 weeks ago, and all was well with him. I don't have any further update for you. I mean, Bob is somebody who tells the same story again and again and again. He doesn't vary. It doesn't get bigger. There's nothing really new to tell.
Well, I thought his computer got nailed by the some SWAT team or something.
Well, various things have happened to him along the way. But, I mean, the main story of what happened to Lazar at 51, Area 51, that's remained pretty much the same.
Okay. Also, David Cerita was on a little while ago.
Yes.
Great guest. He was interrupted by a phone call. Well, I should say a caller called in with an amazing story, which kind of disrupted the program. He said he had 3 videotapes that he was a security guard, and he was trying to get out this information to you. Any update on that?
None whatsoever.
Oh, wow. That's thanks.
Sorry. Sorry about that. And okay. I appreciate your call. Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hi. Where are you?
Oh, I'm in southern Manitoba, Canada.
And what's your first name?
Well, you've nicknamed me already.
I have?
Yeah, you did last time we talked. You called me the New World Leader.
The New World Leader, all right. New World Leader. What's up tonight?
What's up tonight? Well, I don't know. I wanted to get that email off to you, but I don't have...
enough bells on it.
It's a 1-800 number.
Now, who's in the background making all the noise?
Somebody's objecting to me using her phone.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to have to break away from this because I can't let that come.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that, Art.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm out of here because I can't let that language on the air. There was somebody in the background that was objecting to her use of the phone in a unerrable manner. Put it that way. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, I've got a story. You like time.
You do. You're on a cell phone that's kind of breaking up, but go ahead and give it a try.
Okay, this is a story from Granny's Closet. My grandmother was an RN. Long story short, she got into some trouble. She had to face this board where they would decide whether they took her license to practice away or let her keep it.
Yeah.
They took her license away. She had, you know, a watch with a second hand. That was her nurse's watch. It stopped exactly the same time that they took her license away at 8:23.
Mm-hmm.
And she died 2 years ago at 8:23, 25 years apart.
Well, 8:23 was a bad time for that lady. No question about it. In fact, I suppose every hour is the minute hand swept around, Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I have a solution to the problem of time zones. Not time zones, the changing back and forth to daylight saving.
To me, the solution is just stop doing it.
Yeah, well, the way I handle it is I run all my clocks on GMT or UTC, whatever you want to call it.
Well, then you always have to convert, though.
So what? I mean, you obviously know this even better than I do since you're a ham and all that.
Yes, but then you still have to make the conversion. I appreciate your suggestion, sir, and I understand to convert all your clocks to Greenwich Mean Time. Fine idea. But that means, of course, that you have to consistently convert. When somebody says, look, I'll be down there at 1 o'clock, you've got to do the GMT conversion and learn to read your clock that way. No, that's a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. We need to return to the sanity of one time across the nation. One, but one time. That's all we need. If they want to have different time zones, fine. Have them. I realize the necessity of it, for the sun sets in different areas at different times. So fine. Keep your time zones. But damn it! Stop this switch twice a year. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art Bell, an honor to actually speak to you.
I'm glad to have you here.
Awesome. Hey, the daylight savings time is a whole ball of wax, but those tones you were playing from Harp, you were just playing the program, I guess, before this, from last night?
Yes.
In the 70s and 80s, that first tone you played was a test line that we would call and it would measure the distance of the loop that you're in.
I've heard that, too. It does sound similar to that.
So I'm wondering if they're just testing with the frequency range to see what bounces back with the delay of certain frequencies.
Well, they're hitting the ionosphere with a whole bunch of power, sir, as you know. And maybe it's just let's, you know, do a wide range of frequencies and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I'm in Miami, so I'm pretty far from it, I'm sure. That's up in the northwest.
Alaska, actually.
Yeah.
It's all the way in Alaska, but I guess the idea would be, you know, just play a wide range and aim them at the ionosphere with enough RF to cook meat, you know, at 100 miles, and let's see what happens. It's science, folks. Harry, throw the switch now. Goodbye.
Imaginary lovers never turn you down. It's my private pleasure, midnight fantasy, someone to share my wildest dreams with me.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Now, I want you to listen very carefully because our phone numbers on the weekend are a little bit different. So please make note.
To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
By the way, tomorrow night, I'm going to be looking for a particular kind of ghost story. We're going to lay a very frightening night on you tomorrow night, and I'll tell you why. Because I found that in the course of taking ghost stories, the ones that are absolutely the scariest, I mean, they do me in, are the ones about entity attacks, any kind of attack. People who have been molested, people who have been, well, had actual contact of one sort or another with an entity. So that's what I'm going to be particularly looking for, entity attacks, ghost attacks, if you will, are those associated with actual interaction of some sort, of a very unpleasant type from some sort of entity. And be assured there are very negative entities out there. All right, you've got the numbers. And once again, let me emphasize, I'm going to be interested in two things tomorrow night, particularly two things. One, that we find and listen to anybody who has suffered an entity or ghost attack, an actual attack by a negative entity of some sort. I mean, you can generally tell, right? There are poltergeists, and they seem to be fun-loving jokesters. And then we have, you know, the ball and chain ghost. Then we have entities that can't be so easily pinned down. They're not grandma. They're not dad. But they're bad. And they do bad things. So we're going to be looking for those. And then also, I would like to urge, even beg you, to attempt to get to a corded telephone. In other words, to have your good story broken up by the irregular, poor service provided by most cell phone carriers these days is unacceptable. So try and get to a good phone. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Mr. Bell.
Hi.
This is Claire in Charleston, South Carolina, 94.3.
Way to go.
SCFM.
Way to do it.
I'm in total agreement with you about changing the time.
Oh, you are?
Well, I just wonder how much money is lost from loss of productivity, you know,
a lot.
Accidents.
Oh, much.
You know, and I just think it's really dumb. But I also wanted to ask, how is Mrs. Strieber?
Last report I had just a couple of days ago, she was doing just spiffy. I mean, she's obviously been through a gigantic trauma,
yeah.
But all her faculties are in place, which is the most important thing after an event of that sort.
You bet.
And so the last report was good.
Excellent. All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and bless your heart for agreeing with me on that. What possible reason do we have, somebody's going to call up and say, well, because, Art, it makes everybody check their smoke detectors. Well, so what? So what? Let's have National Smoke Detector Day, then. Do away with the damn time change, and we'll have National Smoke Detector Day. Check your battery in your smoke detector today, the radio and TV can say, right? But there's no need to go around and change every clock. No need whatsoever. We're grown-up people. We can handle the same time all the time. The National Bureau of Standards, the same time, all the time, WWV, where every second counts. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Pat calling from the Rochester, New York area.
Yes, sir.
1180 Country, great to have you back. I just want to know what your opinion was. I called earlier in the year and expressed my concern over possible terrorist action prior to the election.
Uh-huh.
And I just wonder if you think it will remain quiet up through Tuesday evening.
I don't know. Of course, you know, that has to be my answer. You're not talking to Ed Dames here. It's just Art Bell. So I don't know.
Your opinion. The Bin Laden tape that just came out, I think, did spark some concern.
Yes, and I think that it's just my opinion they would benefit the incumbent. What do you think?
I think the same.
Because the Americans are a stubborn, angry group of people, and if somebody says, well, if you do this, then we're going to get you, then we're going to do that. That's just our nature, and so I think it'll help the president.
You'd have to wonder, maybe they'll wait until after the inauguration and test the new man.
You're assuming it's going to be a new man, are you?
Well, I just that's the way I'm leaning now.
Uh-huh. Are you in a state that's leaning?
I'm not quite sure, and I wish I was more educated on that.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, the polling, do you think it indicates that you're a Kerry guy, I take it, right?
Yes, I am.
Do you think that your state is leaning toward Kerry or the president?
The upstate New York area would be leaning towards Kerry. I think downstate New York City would be leaning towards the president.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got one for you, and you're no Ed Dames either, but do you think we're going to have another Florida?
God help us. I personally think that whoever wins Ohio and Florida will probably take the election.
That's fair. Could well be. I appreciate your call, sir.
Thank you, Art.
Take care. No, I don't predict such things. I don't know. Will there be a terrorist act before the election? Well, the release of that tape alone was somewhat terroristic, but in most cases, you'd say, glad to see the guy's alive. Well, nobody's glad to see he's alive. Nobody in this country, anyway. But there he is, and the CIA, of course, has confirmed it is a legit tape done fairly recently, so alive he is. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Jean, listening to you on 1410 Vancouver, B.C.
Vancouver, B.C. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I've been wanting to tell you for 8 years that farmers used to, where I grew up anyway, hate what started out as wartime because they can't get in the fields in the morning because of the dew.
All right.
So farmers do not, I don't think today either, because they have to work so late at night then when everybody else is playing.
Dear lady, I don't think anybody benefits from this. It is a senseless, pagan-like ritual that has no place in modern America or the world.
I agree with you. It's all these people that want to play all evening that want it.
Yes! Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, how's it going?
It's going.
It's J-Max. I'm from Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
And I remember the first time I ever heard Coast to Coast, it was just before you came back, and there was that one sounder that went, shwing, riri, and it was so eerie. I'd love to hear that again sometime.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Remember that sounder at the end of the break? Or before the break?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It would go shwing, ring, and that just drew me into Coast to Coast. That's what did it for me, Art. And then
my personal favorite, sir, my personal favorite, all-time favorite, is the thunder. When I heard the thunder, I mean, that thunder, boy, if you listen carefully, and of course you're not getting it for the most of you, in fact all of you really, in stereo, you're getting it in mono, but if you had the thunder in stereo, you would hear it. It's as though it's echoing across a valley. It sounds so cool in stereo. But even mono, it's excellent. And it fits right in for this kind of program from my point of view. Wildcard line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Hi there.
Hey, yeah, I grabbed by an entity one night.
I beg your pardon?
I got grabbed by an entity one night.
While you were in your truck?
Yes.
You
can tell I'm in my truck.
I can tell, yes, I can tell.
Yeah.
Well, while you were driving?
No, I was sleeping.
You were back in the sleeper?
Yeah.
And you got, what happened? That is interesting,
well,
actually.
The first thing I thought, I felt two hands, I felt the fingers and the thumbs on my shoulders.
And you knew it was not your partner?
It woke me up. The first thing I thought, I said, uh-oh, somebody's in my truck.
Yeah.
And I couldn't move. I couldn't move my arms or my legs, and I just started screaming. And it finally let me go. And as I got to thinking about it, it was like somebody was holding me down, not letting me go nowhere, like maybe it was my guardian angel. I don't know.
Now, were you by yourself in the truck, or did you have a partner who was driving at the time?
No, I was by myself.
You're all by yourself. So you were pulled over to rest stop or something, huh?
Yeah. I was out there by that prison in Colorado where Charles Bronson made that movie where he threw the helicopter in.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, prisons, my friend, you know, if you believe in ghosts, then as you will find out tonight from my guests, prisons yield a great deal of EVP. Prisons have apparently a lot of negative karma associated with them. And for that matter, so do graveyards in a way, right? And they're the other place where an awful lot of EVPs are retrieved. Now, I don't think they've ever really told us, you know, Brendan Cook and Barbara. I don't think they've ever told us a straight scoop on cemeteries. They say, you know, cemeteries are not any more likely to yield EVPs than anywhere else, but they keep going back to cemeteries, right? With their electronic gear gathering these voices, and prisons where they have executions and there's a lot of negative karma, so. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art Bell?
Yes.
Oh, hi. This is Steve calling from Clearwater, Florida.
Hey, Steve.
I agree with you perfectly well about that time change. I hate it, too. I can't stand it.
Is there any reason on the face of the earth that you can think of that we should be doing it? Is there any real reason?
Not at all.
What?
There should not be any reason at all. Because
right.
Down here in Florida, I mean, it's light so long, even when they go back on the standard time, it's light still until 6 o'clock. So why do they have to put it ahead another hour? It's so ridiculous.
But, sir, to put Americans, in fact, the world, through this mindless, pagan, stupid exercise twice a year, there must be a secret reason that we don't know about. Otherwise, it truly is mindless.
Yeah, it's totally mindless, exactly. And it makes everybody insane. I mean, because nobody knows what time it is. If they just go by the sun, because when it's 12 noon, the sun is straight overhead, so that's where it should be synchronized to. Right?
I guess. I don't know. Maybe
you should get some people on your program to sign a petition against it. Remember you did something in Miami about that Miami Circle thing, and they were going to build some condos on that historic site?
Yeah, we need
site.
A slogan, any good movement. You know, one nation, one time, something.
Yeah, get some kind of a movement or something going and tell them to make them stop this. I mean, Arizona, they don't do it.
I know it's rebellious, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I even keep my time on the same time. Like me and my neighbor, I wear a watch around, pocket watch around my neck, and I keep it on the same standard time all year. And I say, no, this is the time. I don't care what their time is. They're liars.
Maybe state by state we should begin switching, whether they like it or not. That's how we do it. See, at the grassroots level, we get our state legislatures to say to Washington, take your time and, you know, whatever. We're, in other words, Nevada, we could join Arizona very quickly. We're, you know, neighbors. Why not?
Yeah, especially in the southern state, because, I mean, you know, when it stays light so doggone long, it makes it hotter in the evening time, and it doesn't save energy because it makes people have to run air conditioning longer because the sun doesn't set as early when people come home from work, so it makes it use up more electricity.
Well said, Sarah. Thank you very much. So in the name of energy and conservation and the oil we're running out of, for God's sake, stop this foolishness. Even if we had all the oil in the world, I'd be saying that. This is insanity. And there's not one person out there who can give me one logical good reason why we should continue to do this. It's stupid. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Brian from Cleveland.
Hey, Brian.
How are you?
I'm Art from Pahrump. I'm fine.
I just wanted to call. I like when people call from the future.
Yes.
And I'm upset you never give them a fair chance. Like.
Well, yes, I do.
I don't know. All right.
Let's turn it around. You be the talk show host. I'm from the future. What would you ask me?
I'd be like, well, where are you from?
I'm from the future.
Okay. Well, you can't come in. I don't know. I just...
Come on,
you know,
Brian.
Like,
pepper me with questions.
Like my point is, it seems like you hang up on them.
Pepper me with questions, Brian.
It seems like you hang up on them.
Brian, this is your chance. Pepper me with questions.
I'm not skilled in the ways of...
Right. Well, see, what I do, Brian, is I test my time travelers. And if a person is a real time traveler, they're going to have pretty snappy answers, right? And if they do, I keep going. That's my policy. But if my BS detector goes off, then so do they. That's how it works, Brian. Cruel, mean. But nobody ever said it was a fair world. And so if you're going to say you're from the future, you've got to come on in a pretty snappy way. And if you do, then, Brian, you will notice that you hang around for quite a while. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art Bell?
Yes.
Hi, I really enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
I want to tell you that.
Thank you.
I had a really severe supernatural life extreme. With entities.
Oh, in what do you mean?
You know, from the time I was a teenager.
Yes.
This thing or things would continuously haunt me and attack me.
In what way?
Well, and you know, I'd be in a nut house if I didn't have witnesses for some of it. Right. But I think the scariest one was the night that I was laying in bed and I heard somebody walking around my room.
Yes.
And so I went and turned the light on, and I didn't see anything. So I went back in bed, covered up, and turned the light off, covered up. And it walked up to my bed and pulled the blanket off of me.
Oh?
Yeah.
That would do it, all right. So were you actually seeing this? In other words, did you heard the walking, and then you actually physically saw your blanket come flying off you?
No, it was pitch dark, and I covered myself up and was laying there, and I heard it walk up to the bed.
Oh,
then
my God. And then the cover came flying off, and then what?
And I just jumped up and ran and turned the light on.
Huh.
And at that time, I was about 18, and I went and slept on my parents' floor.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet you were screaming, Mommy, Mommy. All
yeah,
right, sir, thank you very much. If you know, that would do it all right. I mean, the one refuge that we all know we have against monsters and things that hide in the closet would be our covers. And if we don't have our covers, we have nothing. Right? Our covers are our, it's our little house of protection. Nothing can violate that. And to hear the footsteps is bad enough. You throw the covers over your head and then, phew, gone. That would do it. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing, Art?
I'm doing okay, sir.
Turn my radio down. This is Al from Chatsworth.
Al, you're going to have to scream at me. You're not real loud, but go ahead.
How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, I agree with you 100,000%.
On the time?
Oh, it's a pain in the you-know-what.
Yeah, it is.
VCRs and watches.
Oh, it goes on and on and on. And even when you do your best, my friend, then in the next few days and weeks, you will find, oh, there's another damn clock I didn't set, and you have to set that.
That's right. Another quick question, too.
Yes.
Are you going to have Evelyn Paglini on any time in the future?
Of course I'm going to have Evelyn on. She is a real witch.
Well, she's trying to help me with a lost love of mine. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You wish to retrieve a love, the love of your life?
Absolutely. It truly is. There's a lot of people out there. I'm sure I'm not alone.
I've seen movies about that, you know, where a guy wants to get his love back and he does a little of this and a little of that. And I've talked to Evelyn about this, too, and then you get unintended consequences. For example, the love of your life now becomes so attached, so dependent on you, so stalking you, that you can't get rid of her, and she once was the love of your life, and now you can't stand the sight of her, and she just won't leave you alone. But it doesn't always work out that way. You know me, always looking over on the dark side. All right, coming up, the EVP people and voices from the other side. I'm Art Bell.
Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
As you know, for years now, years before anybody else really paid much attention to this publicly, on this program, we've been entertaining the concept of EVP. I got the following email yesterday, actually. Hi, Art. You might want to mention this info on the air tonight. White Noise, starring Michael Keaton, is the first Hollywood movie on the subject of EVP. It will open in January of 2005. On the above website, and that website is whitenoisemovie.com, you're going to find the trailer for the movie and a short featurette, a look inside about EVP. The latter clip features members of the AAEVP, the American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena people, Tom and Lisa Butler, actually the directors of the group. They've been on Coast to Coast AM before, and of course it too was a fascinating program. And so now we've got a major motion picture, and for a very good reason. Because what you're about to hear is, from my point of view, and I look very carefully at this, believe me, very carefully, it's inexplicable. Technically inexplicable as a hoax or anything like that. Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth are both members of the Ghost Investigators Society. The Ghost Investigators Society is a non-profit organization. They don't sell books. They don't sell coffee mugs. They don't sell posters. They don't sell a damn thing, actually. GIS is non-profit, dedicated to the investigation of ghosts. Not only do they conduct investigations, but also instruct, assist, and educate anyone who believes they may be experiencing ghostly phenomena, or those who are just simply curious. A lot of you I know are. In an effort to educate the public about ghosts, the GIS hopes the EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, presented here, are going to demonstrate that the consciousness, our consciousness, that which is you, survives after the body dies, and that these voices may help to give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. And so, ladies and gentlemen, here they are, Brendan Cook. Brendan?
Hello.
And Barbara.
Hello.
Hello, you two. You're up in Utah, aren't you?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I meant what I said and what I have said. I've really looked, you know, very carefully, and I know quite some bit about electronics and audio, into what you do, and let's briefly explain to these folks what you do, your nonprofit organization does. You take tape recorders, and now, more recently, moving into the digital world, you've begun to use different types of recorders, I would assume, mini disc or whatever, right?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely correct.
What is the equipment? Just describe, if you would, please, the equipment you're now using.
Well, we actually, as far as audio recording, we do still use some analog tapes.
You know what a diehard I am about those.
Yeah, I've tried to wean Barbara away from the analog, but she won't do it. Everybody else has now switched over to digital.
Sure.
Because the quality has just become, I mean, it's so much better.
Barbara, you've got to make the move here. You really have to make the move.
I don't understand them. They're too technical to me.
Well, it's not hard. It's all about signal to noise. You know the way, oh, by the way, white noise. I'd like to get your views on White Noise. Have you seen the trailer for the movie?
We have seen the trailer, and we have actually been contacted by some people from Universal to do, I guess, a second trailer for it.
Oh, no kidding.
I've heard that it's supposed to be for the UK release, but I'm not quite sure on how they're working that out, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, the history of EVP, for those who are new to it tonight, goes back to, well, how far, folks?
Well, it goes back to, I mean, you can trace it all the way back to Edison, really.
Edison thought that the voices of the dead may well, in fact, come across, right?
Well, yeah. He did. He believed that there would be a way at some point in the future, and he hoped that he would be the one to kind of pioneer the technology to do it,
mm-hmm.
That it would be possible to communicate with people who have departed. And that, you know, led to different experiments such as the, what was it, the Lazarus experiments, and then also the, what's the word I'm thinking here, Barb?
I don't know.
You know,
I'm sorry.
It was done in the 80s. It was done by a guy named Dr. George Meek. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've heard about this, Art. He had actually, and for some reason nobody's followed up on this since, but he did end up building a machine that somehow was allowing communication from the other side using different frequencies to interact with our side. And you know, we were lucky enough that somebody had sent us these tapes of these recordings that George Meek had done. And it was just so amazing to hear him talking and having this entity on the other side responding to him.
My God. You've heard the tapes?
Yeah,
yes.
We did hear the tapes. It actually
you don't
it
have
happened
them.
From...
do you have them?
We do have them. They're not ours, though. So, I mean, we can't post them. We can't. Can't really do anything with them. It was more sent to us just for us to experience what other people have done.
Well, I'd like to at least get a feel of what it was like. How much communication was actually going on? How was it done?
Oh God! It, as far as the specifics of the machine, I am not sure.
No,
I know
no.
he.
Well, I'd like to know about that, but I meant how much communication actually went on. Was it was ongoing?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it definitely was ongoing. And they said it was to the point, the entire experiment lasted over 3 years. And it was to the point that they would make contact with this entity. And the entity claimed he was a doctor that used to work for NASA and had died 5 years previous to the experiment starting.
Really?
And they claimed that this entity was actually helping them build this machine. That he was giving him pointers on how to do it.
No
and
kidding.
Dr. George Meek had actually gone from that, taken the information he had got from this entity through this machine, and ended up writing a book. I believe it was called The Ghost of 28 Megahertz. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was called.
28 megahertz?
Yeah, I think.
28 megahertz, that's a 10-meter band. no kidding. Boy, would I like to know more about this. Would you be able to share something like that privately?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I definitely send you the tapes, no
send
problem.
Send me a copy. I really, really would appreciate it, all right? And,
okay.
And then maybe I'll go from there to trying to figure out how to get it on.
Maybe you can figure out how to build the machine.
Don't tempt me. Maybe I have a machine that'll do it now. Who knows? Anyway, get
That's
me
true.
A copy. I'll try to figure out how to share it with the audience if there is some route to doing that. All right, look, for the sake of those who are a little technical in the audience, I do want to know exactly what you're using to get these voices. What kind of equipment?
All right, well, Barbara, as far as her analog equipment, is using the Iowa TPM920 cassette recorder.
That's discontinued now, and I can't get another one, and mine's about shot.
Good!
Good.
I at least I think good. Now, Brendan, being honest, Barb with her older recorder, is she getting any greater percentage or number of EVPs than the rest of you using a more modern digital?
No, I don't think
she is.
Well then, Barbara, my dear, let me teach you a little about signal to noise.
Okay.
Thank you, Art. Thank you very much.
You've tried this speech, have you, Brendan?
Yeah, he has.
I have tried everything, and it just doesn't work.
A tape machine, Barbara, has a normal amount of hiss because of the tape passing over the heads. It's just a sort of a part of that older technology that, you know, the newer stuff, the digital stuff, is not burdened with. And so you don't have to pick the signal so far out of the noise to try and understand what it's saying. When Brendan gets something on, say, a mini disc player, the noise factor is almost not even worth considering. So obviously it's going to be a much clearer, more understandable, recording.
Oh, and I know that. I mean, I can hear the difference in the quality of the voices.
Well, then why?
Because I'm too backwards in trying to learn how to use these newfangled gadgets.
Well, I mean, when you and your husband are in watching, I don't know, color television, do you say, I've had it with this, and march into the bedroom and watch a black and white?
Well, no, but if it's too complicated to use, I won't even try using the machine.
Ah, now I think we're down to the real basics of what's going on
here. Oh,
that
is the real basic. You know, I mean, that is. I'm intimidated by these new little machines.
I understand. Now I do understand. Brennan, get her on with a few buttons. What can I tell you?
And plus, I like having the tape itself after I'm done.
Yes.
That's what a hard drive's for, Barb.
That's right.
Well, I don't know how to do that either, you know, to download it.
Uh-huh. Well, listen, Barb, handwriting's on the wall. Your machine's discontinued. Probably won't be another one, so.
Oh, and I've been looking, too.
Yes. All right. So, again, Brendan, for your part, you're using generally what?
Actually, all three. There's three of us using the same model recorder.
What is it?
It is a RCA 1105B digital recorder. It's actually got a flash drive built into it.
So you're recording directly at a hard disk.
Yes. Yeah,
very
that's great.
Good.
And then from there, dumping it straight onto the computer's hard disk. And
very good.
Backing it up as MP3 and WAV files.
I would then think there ought to be a way, well, I guess not, well, because there is some human dialogue, those of the investigators included in the recordings. You couldn't take a piece of software and just have it go look, could you?
Well, you could. I mean, you could train it to listen for certain tones, frequencies, things like that. But like you mentioned, you do want to keep the dialogue of the investigators in.
Yes.
If anything, you might be able to use that to pinpoint, you know, an area that you should concentrate on. Because obviously, you know, we're out doing these investigations for 4 or 5 hours. That's a lot of audio to go listen to again. So, I mean, you're literally reliving everything all over again. It doubles the time it takes to finish an investigation. So
how religious is the content of what you two generally get? I ask this for a reason. I mean, most of us think when we die we're going to heaven or hell or some point in between. But, you know, biblically we're headed off into some place. So you would think there'd be a whole lot of religion, a whole lot of I saw Jesus, I saw God, I saw my dead relatives, I did this, I did that. Is there a lot of religion or very little?
Very little.
Yeah.
Very worrisome.
I mean, I really can't even recall us.
You know, we've had references to enjoy the light or go to the light or they're in the light. But as far as any kind of religious thing, there might have been swearing where they use the word God.
Yes.
But
you absolutely don't get an overwhelming amount of that, do you?
No,
we
see,
don't.
That's
in fact,
very worrisome.
It's really, really non-existent.
We did. I believe one of the tracks we have tonight is a man in a prison screaming, "Oh God!"
Oh, I'm going to talk to you about prisons and graveyards. Stand by a moment. We've got to do our break, or we're going to forget. So here we go. So, no references to God, no references to Jesus, very few references to heaven or hell, dark or cold. We got that quite a bit, but no particular religious slant to it all, which would be worrisome for many, and maybe even cause them to discount what they hear. And then, here's where I want to go. You two are consistently going to graveyards, prisons, other cheery little crypts, all kinds of cheery little locations, and yet, at the same time, you've tried to sell me on the point that you can get EVPs virtually anywhere, which is interesting, but you keep going back to these places. Why?
Well, we go to locations that are reportedly haunted.
And what's more reportedly haunted than an old hospital or a prison or cemetery in some little town in Iowa?
Hmm. So the fact of the matter is, these places are more frequently haunted, therefore yield EVPs at a more regular basis, on a more regular basis, and perhaps more dramatic ones at that. After all, you electrocute somebody, you're not going to have a happy spirit.
That's correct. And, you know, and when you were talking about them referring any, you know, to religious things.
Yes.
You've got to take into consideration the mental state of a person that would be staying as a ghost. In life, they might not have been a religious person in the first place.
And so perhaps for them there is no heaven if they didn't believe in it? Or perhaps they simply
they're not in that mindset.
Or perhaps they have not yet moved on to heaven.
That's right.
Have you come to any larger conclusions about all of this, whether there really is a heaven, whether some of these people that you hear from and pull out of the noise do move on to the next level?
I do. You know, I do think that there is something else. I mean, there is another level. And, you know, whether that's heaven or hell, I mean, who's to really say? But, you know, I have realized that there has been locations that we've gone and we've recorded a person's voice, you know, 3-4 different nights. And then all of a sudden they just don't come back anymore. We never hear from them again.
And you conclude what about
and
that?
It's almost like that by us being there, it's helped them resolve the issue of, you know, I mean, it sounds cliched, but maybe it's, you know, helped them realize that they're dead. They don't belong here anymore.
All right, then. That provokes the following question. Of the responses that you get, hundreds, thousands by now, tens of thousands, how many would indicate that what you're hearing is, in fact, somebody who is confused and doesn't understand they have died?
Oh, I think they're, I mean, this is just my own personal belief, but I think that a good majority either are denying their death or they don't realize they're dead.
Well, not actually. I mean, that brings me back to, it was a voice we recorded a couple of years ago. We played it, I think, twice on your program, of an old lady from a cemetery that says, "I'm completely dead."
I do recall that, yes.
And the way she says it, I mean, you can feel, I mean, the emotion that she has. It's almost like she's had a self-realization that by us being there and us looking for ghosts, she suddenly realized, well, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm the one that's dead.
And was there any indication she then moved on?
We never did hear from her again.
We never recorded her voice again there.
Huh. I have scratched my head. I've tried to dig holes in what you all do, and I can't. And you've done the same thing, haven't you? Haven't you tried
yes.
to dig holes in what you do
yes.
so that you're sure you're not doing something useless?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yes,
definitely.
Because, you know, we've put in a lot of time and money into this. And after the investigation, like Brennan says, the investigation isn't over because we still have hours of recordings to
go over
and not to mention plus the videos.
I mean, we do. We invest too much time and too much money in this for us to just accept anything that we come across and say,
mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what that is.
All your own money, all your own time. I understand. Barbara Macbeth, Brendan Cook, and coming up in a moment, electronic voice phenomena. Or put another way, I do believe you're hearing voices from the other side.
I've had nothing but bad luck since the day I saw the cat at my door. So I came into you, sweet lady, answering your mystical call. Crystal ball on the table, showing. But now
Take a ride? To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
And Brendan Cook and Barbara McDeth from the GIS, the Ghost Investigators Society. They do EVP work. They capture voices from what must be the other side on electronic media. Eve in San Francisco, California, fast blast me the following. How can there be a hierarchy and a spirituality that is supposedly infinite? My greatest hope is that when I die, everything's done. Just done, gone, no ego, no personality, just sweet oblivion. Well, Eve, maybe that's the way it works out for those who wish it. But I don't know, that'd be on the hopeful side. Actually, Eve, if you listen carefully to the next 2.5 hours, I think you'll hear what you've got to look forward to. Stay right where you are. I don't think that what you're about to hear should be sugar-coated at all. And what, you know, after all the years of listening to this, I think I would have to say that what you're about to hear generally comes from confused people. What you're about to hear comes from people in dark places, many times frightening places. There's been a little bit of humor, no reference or very little reference to God or heaven or Jesus or any of the following. So what you're about to hear is troubling. It really is troubling. If this is what becomes of some of us, then to me it's troubling. Do you two have any different reaction to it?
No, I would agree with you completely, and I think a lot of it has to do with the state of mind that that being is in.
When they pass on?
At the time that they pass on, and after they have passed. You know, I mean, you can look around you in society, and there's a lot of happy people, but there's also many troubled people, and they... A lot of their trouble they bring on themselves.
There are mentally disturbed people. Yes. Are they then mentally disturbed on the other side, do you believe?
I think that many of them stay that way, yes. The voices that we have recorded, some of them, they still sound like they're little off, you know.
Well, Barbara, that's more like hell than heaven.
Yes, and many times, Art, you know, your heaven and hell is a mental thing. It's not a physical thing. It's mental.
Well, and especially, I mean, if you look at the voices that we've recorded from, let's say, you know, the two big prisons that we've investigated.
Yes.
Not one of those voices, I think, was happy. Not one.
Yes.
I think every single one sounded disturbed and
despair.
Almost crazy.
Great. All right. Now that we've laid that one out straight, let's rock and roll. We have voices that have been, you know, we go, what do we go? A few months between shows, right? And during that time, you're collecting the best.
That's right. Well,
right.
We hope to collect the best anyway.
All right. So let us proceed with what we have for, what, the last 2 or 3 months?
All right. Well, now, this clip, this was recorded in the Gold Hill Hotel in Virginia City. And what you're going to hear is, first of all, let me explain. We had done a complete overnight investigation with the 5 members of the GIS.
Right.
We had taken, I believe it was the Brewery Lodge, which was an offshoot of this hotel, which was almost just a separate house.
and we had the run of the entire thing. We were able to lock the entire house down, go inside the house, and do our investigation overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it consisted of three different bedrooms. Each couple got a bedroom, then Barry got his own bedroom. And we each set up our video cameras in our rooms and all that.
Well, I've been to Virginia City, you two. It's a pretty creepy old place anyway in a lot of ways, isn't it?
Yes, and there's a lot of, most of the buildings have reported hauntings in them, so it's a wonderful place to investigate.
So in this case, you had an EMF meter with you?
That's correct. We do, and we take that with us everywhere.
So you're looking for fluctuation, sorry to interrupt, in the electromagnetic field indicating the presence of something.
That's correct. We have noticed there are correlations between fluctuations in the EMF and, you know, ghost manifestations, even EVP in video.
Got it.
Anomalies captured on film. I mean, things like that. And in this clip, that it actually shows that. What's happening is I was walking around doing a control reading with the EMF meter, and of course I'm recording at the same time, and the EMF meter was just going so erratic. I mean, it would give me high levels in one spot, and then I'd go back to that spot and there'd be nothing, then all of a sudden it'd go high again, then it'd be high on the other side of the room. And I'd walked into the living room area of the brewery lodge, and I was going to find Barbara to let her know that the EMF meter was acting weird and she should concentrate filming on this side of the house.
Right.
And I'm walking in there, and then you'll hear this woman say, "Are you alone?" And I'm
okay.
Walking down these stairs as she's saying that, and then I say to Barbara, "It's acting weird."
Okay.
So, I mean, it's just such a weird context of this woman asking me, "Am I alone?"
Here it is.
Are you alone?
It's acting weird.
Wow.
Are you alone? Are you alone?
Well, there's nothing, that's absolutely clear. While there are some of them that are perhaps difficult to understand, there's nothing hard to understand about that. That voice asks, "Are you alone?" Now, is it your impression, Brendan, that that was addressed to you?
Yeah, I would think so, but I think that's mainly just because I was there, and I know, you know, how it was set up in the context of how it happened. I would think that it was directed towards me, but at the same time, it may have been, you know, like some of these other EVP recordings where it has absolutely nothing to do with what we're doing at the time.
Mm-hmm. Such a clear voice, obviously feminine. No chance it was Barbara, right?
It's not my voice, and
no,
it's
definitely not
Barbara. And it's not Jenny's voice, and we were the only two females in the brewery lodge
mm-hmm.
that night.
All right, listen closely one more time, folks. Here it is. Now listen closely. The "Are you alone?" part is coming out of nowhere.
Are you alone?
It's acting weird.
Are you alone?
All right, that was Brendan. It's acting weird. Was the electromagnetic monitoring device that he had? And Brendan, how far out from the normal background was this reading?
This was actually going all the way up to about 13 milligauss.
Really?
And when you figure that the average reading in this home was about 0.4. I mean, it was pretty high fluctuations. I mean, even for a lot of things that we have seen with it,
I think
that has been one of the highest.
Yes. That's interesting. Do you think, Brendan, that it takes that electromagnetic energy to make that communication or make a manifestation, something that you can see is electromagnetic force, what's involved in...
You know, I do think that they use this energy to do it. And, I don't know if they're creating this energy or using the energy that's already there
uh-huh.
and then somehow amplifying it. But I think, you know, a lot of this correlates with the, you know, you've heard this story all the time that somebody's going to investigate ghosts and all their equipment fails. And I think, you know, these entities and these ghosts are actually using the batteries and, you know, any sort of power that they can gather to manifest themselves.
I absolutely have talked to investigators and non-believing camera guys who have absolutely told me their batteries, the moment they walked into a room, are gone.
That's yep. right. We have that happen a lot. And you walk out of the area, your equipment will start working fine. You go back in, it won't work.
That's really bizarre. So perhaps they're utilizing what electromagnetic energy is in the area, picked up from who knows what, but also including the equipment of any investigators in the area to manifest all this.
I think it's very possible.
I wish I knew whether it was to get that communication across or, well, I guess there's some things we just don't know, huh?
Yeah.
All right, number two.
All right, this was in the same brewery lodge, and we were in the living room area, and you're going to hear me say, if you can speak, will you speak so I can hear you? And it sounds like a child's voice saying mother.
Oh, the children. Here we go.
If you can speak, will you speak so I can hear you?
Yep. No question about that. That's a child's voice. One more time. Listen very carefully. It say it is saying mother.
If you can speak, will you speak so I can hear you?
My. All right. This is every show we touch on this. Every show, the first time I hear a child's voice, we talk about this. There are a disproportionate number of children that you're going to hear in these recordings.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
How disproportionate, you guys?
I think the majority of voices that we record are children or sound like children.
I would say probably right now about 70%.
Which is very disturbing because it's given me a whole different aspect on what I used to believe happened to little children when they passed away.
Well, I mean, the normal line of thought is a child, pretty innocent. Adults, we've had plenty of time to sin and maybe earn our ticket on the freight train down. But, you know, children are pretty innocent, and the great majority of them would be headed off quite quickly to heaven or the good place. But the great majority of them are caught on tape by you, and, God, that's disturbing.
Yes, it is disturbing. I can't get a handle on it, and I don't know why. There's so many.
I mean, it is. And you know, I think the worst one, and this was the one that really set me back, the worst child's EVP that we recorded was recorded by Jenny. And it was of a young girl saying, help me find my dad.
Oh.
And it was just, you could tell how confused this girl sounded and how sad she sounded. That, you know, it's like she had passed on and she was expecting to see her father, but he wasn't there. And now she didn't know what to do.
Hasn't all of this caused you to reflect on your own mortality and what you have to look forward to on the other side? If, you know, I mean, it can't help but shape that.
Yes, it does. The only thing that I can think of for myself is to make my life as happy as I can and be as happy as I can.
Yeah.
I think that your attitude a lot in life is just, you know, carried on with you. You don't change your way of thinking just because you're dead.
Okay. But, I mean, the entire nature of the other side, if little innocent children are calling for mom or some other pathetic plea, I remember a little one saying how cold it was, and your heart just goes out to these voices who don't sound happy. They sound confused. They sound frightened in many cases.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to square all that with, you know, what you get in church on Sunday about what's going to happen.
Yes, it's two conflicting things, isn't it?
Are you two you don't have to answer, but I mean, are you particularly religious? Or has this affected your religious views?
We've got a couple members that are. Barbara and I don't think we really are. But, I mean, it definitely does bring that. I mean, there's no way you can do this and not think about that.
Right.
I mean, you have to think about your own mortality and, you know, these voices, the way they come across and their emotions and things like that. It makes you wonder about, you know, have I done what I need to do in my life that this isn't going to happen to me?
If that's a factor, I mean, is there, that's another very good question. Is there any indication that, I mean, you always say how you live your life is it's sort of how you're going to be over on the other side. Have you investigated any, you know, you do a lot of graveyards, you do a lot of prisons and all that. So have you gone to happy places, or do you find that when you do go to happy places, you don't get many EVPs indicating those are the happy people have gone on?
No, we don't, actually. You know, the one that I can think of, we did do an investigation at a theme park. And the reason we did it there was because at the back of this theme park, they had what they called
Pioneer Village,
that was right. And it was a bunch of old buildings that they had brought in from an old ghost town. And, you know, these buildings had reported haunting activity associated with them. And we did actually pick up, we didn't really get any EVP because, I mean, it was still an active theme park, so
yes.
There was people doing rides and stuff, but we did get some pictures and video out of it. But, you know, it would have been interesting if we could have gone in there later in the night when nobody was there just to see if, you know, that theory was correct, that this being such a happy place, being a theme park where everybody's having fun.
Yes.
If you know, the EVP would have sounded more of, you know, happy, here I am.
More lighthearted.
Yeah.
I think the most lighthearted EVPs that we have recorded was in Union Pacific Railroad Station that's now been turned over into a museum.
Oh, really?
And they didn't sound as distraught as
No. The
other ones have.
All right, let's squeeze number three in here for top of the hour.
All right, now this was also at the Gold Hill Hotel, and this was in the upstairs section where the bedrooms were actually at. And you're going to hear Barbara on this say, if there's someone here, will you make your presence known to us? And this is pretty standard with the things we say when we're out investigating.
Sure.
And then you're going to hear a child say, help me.
Oh, really? Here we go.
If there's someone here, will you make your presence known to us?
Oh, God. Oh, jeez. All right, that goes down already as one of the worst. That's definitely a child. And that's not a happy child. That's a child. I don't know. You guys want to characterize the tone of that voice for me?
You really can't. It's. I mean, listening to it is self-explanatory. I mean, whether you believe it says "help me" or not, because you know we realize a lot of these voices are subjective, and that by us saying what we think it's saying,
yeah,
then people are going to go, "Well, that's what it says." But I mean, especially with that voice, just listening to the tone and the emotion in it, whether you believe it's saying "help me" or not, it's just not a good voice, and you can tell that it's not. It's not happy, and it does sound confused.
Here it is again.
If there's someone here, will you make your presence known to us?
Help me. Help me.
I mean, that could be a child who'd been kidnapped, who was pleading for, you know, someone close by, help me. I mean, that was almost a cry. I'd characterize that as a cry for help.
Yes, and you can hear the despair in his voice.
Good word. Appropriate word, despair, definitely. This is creepy stuff, guys. I mean, this has really got to creep you out. I don't see how this could not creep you out.
Well, you know, I think a lot of why people would be creeped out by this is because they have the whole Hollywood notion that, you know, everything dealing with ghosts is The Exorcist and Poltergeist. And, you know, it's really not that way.
Oh,
I
no,
mean,
that's the last one
it,
just sounded cheery, real cheery.
Help me. We look at it, it's people. I mean, these are people you can't see.
These are children. Hold it right there. From the high desert in the middle of the darkness, this is Coast to Coast AM. If you've got the guts for it, we've got a lot of voices, just like the one you heard.
The heart of the city street is beating. Right from the neons turned the dark to day. We were too hot to...
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Once again, we're not here to sugarcoat this and let you hear what will comfort you or make you feel better. And obviously, you're not getting that. That was a child's voice saying, help me, in the most desperate way you can imagine. I'm afraid I'm going to remember that one for a very long time. My guests are Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth of the Ghost Investigators Society. We'll be right back. I don't know. I guess I'd be interested in knowing how some of you react to what you're hearing tonight, particularly that last one. Is there any other way to interpret what we just heard other than a pathetic, desperate child's voice wanting help? I don't think so. But that's me. As a matter of fact, here's an interesting little... fast blast from Dot, New York City. She says, these EVPs prove that not everybody is, in quotes, welcomed home after they die. Makes me wonder why reported NDEs are always such a positive thing in nature. These EVPs make me wonder what the truth really is. Yeah, well, me too. And I guess you guys too, huh? I mean, there's some truth here, but it may not be one that I don't know, is comforting in any way to anybody.
Well, I don't believe that everyone stays as ghosts, but I do believe that how your frame of mind, a lot of, especially with children, how they were treated when they were alive,
yeah,
kind of things they went through in their short time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it
gives you a whole different perspective on what death is about.
Well, say. All right, we've got, I think, one more from this same location, this lodge, right?
Yes.
All right, what happened here?
On this one, you're going to hear Jenny say, why did they call it the Brewery Lodge? Did they brew beer here? And after she says that, you're going to hear a man, he kind of sounds a little hostile, and he says, what about it?
Really? All right. Let's see what we get from the tone of voice here.
Why do they call it the Brewery Lodge? Do they brew beer in here?
Yeah. What kind of attitude is that? I mean, really, what kind of attitude is that? One more time.
Why do they call it the Brewery Lodge? Do they brew beer in here?
That's definitely attitude, all right.
Mm-hmm.
What about it? What about it? Like that. What about it? So what? Jeez. Well, you know, your heart isn't as yanked by that one as the previous one, to be sure. It's just bad attitude over there on the other side. So, I know, Barbara, that you're both of you, I think, have made a pact to try and communicate when you pass, right?
Oh, yes. And we'd like to, if you pass before us, we'd like to do a good interview with you.
Would you now? You'll find me up around 28 megs if
okay.
Conditions are right. All right. We're about to move out of the nice, safe Virginia City area to a prison, aren't we?
Yep.
Here we go to a prison. How many different prisons have you been to?
We've done three.
Three?
No, four.
Four prisons. And do you have any idea, for example, do you interview anybody who's had, is this a current prison? What prison is this?
No. All four prisons that we have been to have all been since closed down.
Decommissioned.
Yeah, three of them had been turned into museums.
Uh-huh.
But what was really nice, especially this one, the Deer Lodge prison in Montana, it was just so amazing for us to do because, it was just a massive, massive, huge place. If you go to our website, you can see we've laid out kind of a virtual tour of it.
Yes.
You can see how massive it was. And we had, it was a couple of years ago, had started getting so many emails from visitors to the prison and people that worked at the prison in the museum saying that, you know, they can't work there anymore. It's haunted.
Oh.
It's scaring them.
Oh.
You know, visitors saying that they see all these things in the courtyard. And, eventually it just led us to have to contact them and say, you know, we've got these hundreds of emails saying, you know, you guys have something here. Has there been any kind of activity that you've noticed?
Uh-huh.
And we actually ended up talking to the director of the prison.
Yes.
And he asked if we would like to come up and spend the night. And literally,
they just gave us the keys, and locked the place up with us in it, and we just had the whole place all night.
Oh, my God. That's how most horror movies start, you know? Let's go spend the night in the house down the block that we all know about. Come on. Right? And we all know what happens. You guys made it out alive, obviously, however. You guys never freak out when you're doing this kind of thing. In a prison, closed up, all yours, all night long, where there are reportedly ghosts. No fear, huh?
Not so much fear, but there was definitely an atmosphere. And I think this has a lot to do with it being a prison. And, you know, especially before we started this investigation, the prison had hired it was actually one of the ex-guards for the prison when it was actually active in the 60s. And he gave us a tour of the prison, during the day,
yes.
And let us know, you know, what they used to do to keep prisoners in line, how many prisoners were murdered, what they did to get in there. Gave us really a great backstory to this prison. And, you know, going in there in the middle of the night with that in your head of these stories, that was a little unnerving.
Gotta put you on edge a little bit. So, I mean, how many of you went in?
It was five of us. Yeah,
five. All right. When you go into a big place like a prison, for example, do you, the five of you, do you disperse? How do
yes,
you do it?
You all
split up?
Yeah, we have walkie-talkies to keep in touch with each other, keep in contact with one another.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in a place that's this massive and this huge, you have to do that. I mean, you can't have all five people sitting in maximum security when you've got, you know, a good three-fourths of the prison that's still empty that nobody's covering.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, just to kind of get a recorder in every section of the prison, you pretty much have to do that. And
well,
so we'll go and
I know how it goes. I mean, I just know how it goes. It's like Barbara goes, Jenny, are you there? Nothing. No, Jenny. Jenny, are you there? Jenny! And then all you hear is the sound of large teeth crunching on flesh. That's how most of the movies go. Jenny's history. Speaking of Jenny, she's involved in this, isn't she?
Yes.
Yes. Let's hear it. What's coming up? The first one from the prison here.
All right. Now, this clip, she's actually talking about what the guard had talked to us about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, the guard was telling us that they used to throw prisoners in holes naked if they wouldn't conform to the rules of the prison.
Hmm.
And so you're going to hear in this clip Jenny say he probably did what they deserved. They probably got what they deserved.
Okay.
And then you're going to hear this man say they sat back to back.
They sat back to back. All right, here we go.
He probably did what they deserved. Probably gave them what they deserved.
Oh. My God, that's clear. Either that or it's my mind, our minds. I always try and figure it out. Everybody does, and I always get fast blast about it. They're telling us what we're going to hear, and so that's what we hear. How much of that is true? Quite a bit, I imagine, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like I said before. It's definitely subjective. I mean, the fact of me or Barbara saying this is what you're going to hear in this clip definitely plays a factor in what you think you're going to hear. And, you know, this comes from us sitting around a table debating for hours what we think these voices are saying.
Yes.
You know, because obviously we can't come on the radio and say, here's a voice, it says something, but we can't
we don't
really
know
tell
what.
You.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Now, listen, everybody. Listen to this again. And as you listen to this, see if you pick up something different. I don't know if you can blank your mind of the suggestion already implanted in it by us, but they sat back to back, and it does indeed sound like that. Could it be anything else?
He probably did what they deserved. Probably gave them what they deserved.
That is exactly what it sounds like to me. Now, is that the idea implanted in my mind or not? I don't know. Some of them are so unambiguous that it's clearly what's being said. And other times, we've had little arguments about what it is. I'm sure that sitting around the table reviewing these tapes, when you do get one of these, it's how long in sitting there playing it again and again and again and again trying to decide what really is being said?
You know, some are really quick. I mean, some we can come up with an answer within, you know, 2 minutes of hearing it. I mean, especially this they sat back to back one. I think all of us pretty
all
much
of us
heard that.
Heard it the same thing.
One person I think heard we sat back to back, but I mean, the majority of it was sat back to back that we heard.
Hmm. And they used to do that, according to the guard. A lot of the prisoners, they'd have them sit back to back, and they'd hose them off.
Really? So many times you're then able to take material like this and check it against the history of the place.
Yes.
All right. We're not, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This is just freaky stuff. All right, next one.
Okay, and this next one, me and my husband Roger, we were walking into the solitary confinement area, and Roger recorded this voice. It was an area that they used to call Siberia because it was very cold. There, you know, no heat, stone building, and a lot of people died down in here after being put in the solitary confinement. They'd freeze to death. And, but you're going to hear a voice say, "Hello, Siberia," and then you're going to hear Roger say, "There's something down here."
My God. All right, let's see if that's what we hear. Yes, yes, that's exactly what it is. It's "Hello, Siberia," implication being that a prisoner who was in this area or died in this area called Siberia within the prison is still there. There are distinctive syllables to that that are hard to mistake. "Hello, Siberia."
Mm-hmm.
So what, you think that prisoners who died in prison then remain in prison? What
yeah.
other conclusion can you come to?
I think there are a lot that do.
Some of them become so institutionalized
yeah.
when they're released, they don't want to be released.
I've heard that. And so...
you know, they know nothing else.
The trouble with all of this is that, truly, to listen to all of this is going to begin to change your whole thinking about life and death and about what awaits us, and in a very chilling way. So, I don't know. I feel some responsibility in presenting this material because I can't kick any holes in it. I've got a question, technical question for you, if I might, Brendan. These voices that we're hearing, how far down below the noise level or at the noise level or just barely above the noise level, how much amplification do you have to do?
Well, actually, we don't do a lot other than, you know, when we do something like this where we're presenting them, you know, in context from the tape, and then we do two loops afterwards. The loops that we do afterwards will normally amplify it by maybe 6 decibels. But the original one that you hear is straight from the tape.
So as we listen to them, there's what? The original and then 2 or 3 repeats, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And so the repeats are amplified a little bit, but the one that you hear in the first part of the tape is the real one unamplified. Is that
That's
correct?
Correct.
That's
it's
correct.
Straight from the tape, unedited.
My. Then they're quite a bit above the noise level.
There are quite a, and you know, that's not to say that we don't get some that are so, I mean, so low and so buried in static that you really can't make them out, because that, we do get a lot that are like that. But, I mean, there's certainly no way we can present them like this. Nobody would be able to hear them.
Question for you. This is so startling, this whole thing, as we listen to these voices, that why has a university not said, okay, we've got money, we've got resources, we're going to join you, or we're going to learn from you and conduct a very serious scientific investigation into this. Have you been approached?
No, and I don't understand why. It blows me away, because there's obviously a phenomena that's taking place. We get an excellent response from the ghosts that are there,
yes,
at the location.
Yes, and I can understand, for example, why a church, given the disturbing responses and you know, recordings that you're getting, a church might not be interested in pursuing such a, troubling thing. But a university, you would think, would be free enough and interested enough to pursue something like this. Maybe
you would think so, wouldn't you?
Maybe after the movie.
Well,
nothing like Hollywood to get them going.
The Roman Catholic Church did actually study this for a while. there were two monks that were recording Gregorian chants.
Oh?
And suddenly one of the monks had recorded voices of his deceased father, calling him by his childhood name.
That'll get you going.
And they actually ended up taking it to the Pope and saying, you know, because, I mean, the monk was so disturbed by this and so upset by it, because this was something that was, he thought, breaking his religion, and it wasn't supposed to happen, so it made him question what he was doing.
Yes, and which is exactly why the church, I would think, most generally would not pursue it, but I can understand if something that disturbing happened, they would.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know how it came out?
Well, the Pope had actually told him, and there's a lot of different articles on the website regarding this, that the Pope did not see anything wrong with this, and he didn't see anything that contradicted it in the Bible. And he said that this, you know, this looks like a, basically, he said this looks like a legitimate thing, and it needs to be studied, because this is something that is showing that there is something on the other side. And if anything, science will look at it.
Would that be the current pope?
No, what was that?
Would that be the current pope?
No. No, this was...
How long ago?
I want to say Pius, Pope Pius, but I think that's wrong, actually.
So this has all been going on that long without a very, as we mentioned, very serious university-level funded investigation. It's high time it was done.
I
wasn't kidding, hon. I think the movie Hollywood may force something like this. What do you think?
Well, let's hope so. Because, of course, you know, the thing that I have noticed with the EVPs that we've recorded compared to a lot of other, you know, investigators or...
Very quickly.
Is... I think that the quality that we get is superior for some reason.
I do too. We'll be right back.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things.
I walk.
Talk with Artel. Call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Bruce in Winnipeg asks a pretty good question. Now, I've looked at the electronic end of it, and I find no holes. Nothing wrong with this. Too much right with it. But Bruce says, hey, there's no proof. Anyone with a tape recorder and too much time on their hands could easily fabricate these recordings. And that's a very good... Actually, it's the only question. I don't see any technical holes at all. I really don't. So, yes, I suppose they could be fabricated. But for what reason? You know, these two don't... they don't sell anything. That's a problem. They don't... They've been going for years and years, and they're doing it, in my opinion, and I've interviewed the fire out of them here, just because they're absolutely fascinated with it. Not for, you know, 35 minutes in the sun in front of the public. They don't seem to be doing it for that. They don't have that in them. If you listen carefully to their voices, they're not, that's not what they're all about. I'm sorry, but I don't think they're fabricated. We will, nevertheless, ask about that in a moment. A great deal of this is very troubling, and I'll tell you the truth. Ramona told me, she said, you know, after that child, I turned it off. I do understand. This is very troubling, and if you're shooting down the highway in an 18-wheeler or something in the middle of the darkness out there and listening to this, frankly, I might not blame you for turning it off either. It's pretty creepy, and since I don't see any electronic holes in the process of what they're doing, the only other possible hole would be what Bruce here suggests, that the whole thing would be fabricated, that you guys are setting this up. How do you respond to that allegation?
Oh, there's a few ways we could do that. First of all, we're not the only ones to do this.
Quite
this
true.
This has been around, as we mentioned before, for over 60 years. There are groups all over the world who are doing this mm-hmm. and getting just as many results as we do.
And, it's always asked, but groups in Germany, when they do it in Germany, do they get, for the most part, German?
German voices. That's correct. I mean, it seems to be that the people in other countries who do this get the voices of the native tongue. It's the same way here.
All right. Well, I can't see any reason why you would fabricate it other than 35 minutes in the sun on the radio. Big deal.
No, I mean, we have spent easily, as we mentioned before, too much time and too much money to do this. I mean, up until, you know, James Morgan from ModemLink donated our server to us.
Right.
We were spending $400 or $500 a month in bandwidth trying to put this stuff out there.
I believe it.
I mean, that's $500 we just don't want to spend.
Of your own money. And you're also maintaining this non-profit, this sort of Spartan existence that you've cut out for yourself because you're not selling books and all the rest of it. I'm sure it's very tempting.
Oh, of course it's tempting.
Without a doubt. I mean, in this, you know, the 6-7 years now that we've had this going, I cannot count how many times people have approached us with, you know, will you sell me CDs of this?
Yes.
Or would you license your voices for CDs?
Yes.
Would you write a book on this?
Yes.
And, I mean, it would be a very, very easy thing to do. But there's just no point. I think once you bring money into it, I mean, as nice as that would be, it becomes somewhat corrupt.
It does. If only by appearance. I mean, to me, there's nothing wrong with your writing a book. A book is an informative thing. It would be fine, but I understand it might be the appearance of impropriety or something, you know.
Well, I'll tell you this. If we ever write a book, we'll write it, but we won't ever promote it on your show.
All right. Look, we've been lagging behind, so let's move on. We're still in the prison. What's coming up?
All right. Now, this was also recorded in Deer Lodge Prison. This was in the maximum security section with... Barry and myself, and we were going into the section of the prison, which is one of the most haunted sections of the prison, and we were walking around, you know, doing our control check and all that, and we walked into the cell, and you're going to hear the cell door opening, and this was one of, I believe there was 9 security cells in this area, and you hear the cell door squeaking open.
Mm.
And then if you get to listen closely on this, but you're going to hear a guy say, "Help, I'm in here." And then Barry says, "Is anybody in here?"
Oh, here we go. Oh, my God. I do hear it. I hear it too clearly. I hear it so clearly. And the creak of that door. Listen, folks, we're going to play this one again. Obviously, we do it with most of them. This one's, I think, particularly creepy, but yes, I hear it. Help, I'm in here. Isn't it quite clear? Listen yourself. Listen again. Listen very carefully if you dare. Yeah, I'll tell you something else. If you were fabricating that, that's a really good one. If you were fabricating that, you would fabricate it the other way around. You would fabricate it with the voice asking anybody in here, and then that would be the response.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean,
we couldn't think that none of us have this good of an imagination to come up with this.
Yeah.
Well, if we did, then we should be writing books.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Whew, man. Hope I'm in here. Hope I'm still in here. Now, would you be able to find out, for example, who had been in that cell last? I don't even know if it would be the last person in. It could have been somebody who died perhaps when the prison was new.
Well, the problem with that is these cells were rotated. So a prisoner would stay in there 3 days and move. And they would just rotate around their cells. And the other problem is, in these cells, there were countless numbers of prisoners that died, because this was also the suicide watch area. And the prison guards, and this was told to us by the prison guard that gave us a tour of this building before we conducted the investigation, the prison guards with the really nasty inmates would forget, quote-unquote, to do the security check and make sure they weren't going to hang themselves. So they would basically just hand them extra sheets at night and say, good night, and wake up the next morning, and they would have tied the sheets around their bars and hung themselves.
Oh, God. All right. Number 8.
On this one, you're going to hear, I think it was Brendan that recorded this voice, and this was in the solitary confinement area that they called Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hear Barry ask any ghosts that are there, did the guards kill you or did you kill yourself? And the response is, I almost had the key.
Oh, really? All right, here we go.
Did the guards kill you or did you kill yourself?
I almost had the key.
You know, that is quite clear to me, but I don't know that it's responsive directly to the question in this case. Agreed?
I agree.
Okay, here it is again, folks. Listen carefully.
Did the guards kill you, or did you kill yourself?
I almost had the key.
I almost had the key. It would be an obvious, an obvious thought to an inmate who wanted the key to get the hell out. I almost had the key, something he'd be thinking, but definitely not a response to what you had just said.
That's correct. I don't think it's responding to his question.
In what percentage of the EVPs do you keep track of these things? Do you consider the responses to be relevant to something you've said?
I would say it's about 60%. I mean, it's
either
it's
of what we're talking or what we're doing.
Uh-huh. All right, let's finish with this prison. We're not done with prisons, but we're done with this prison, with the next one, which is quite simple, I think.
Well, this one, this was recorded in the maximum security section also. It was recorded by just leaving the recorder in the maximum security section, and then Barry and I left and left the recorder behind for about a half an hour. This is something we rarely do because we very rarely get EVP this way. Normally we get EVP when the recorder is with us and we are actually talking.
When there's a living human present.
Exactly. Huh? And it's almost like the voice, the EVP, is using our sounds to create its own voice, so to speak. And, you know, very rarely do we ever get anything like this when there's nobody around. But this is one of the rare occasions. And what you're going to hear is a man screaming, "Oh, God."
I was almost going to stop you just to see if that's what people hear, but let's listen. Oh, brother. Well, at least that's a reference to God. I don't know the one. It's the one that I was looking for. In fact, it doesn't sound like it. It doesn't sound like, "Oh, God," does it? Not that way at all. Yeah, the wrong kind of "Oh, God," but it's "Oh, God" for sure. And that sounds tortured.
It sounds female.
You think so?
I think it does. I think it sounds like a female voice.
Well,
and that used to be the women's section of the prison before they made it maximum security.
Oh, all right. Well, female or male, it and whatever it said, it had desperation in it.
Yes.
Lots of desperation. You know, I don't blame people for tuning out. I mean, Ramona just, she said, that's it. I mean, that child wanted God to take it away. And so, could
the voices themselves are very disturbing.
Could we be hearing purgatory?
Well, it would be in the mind of the person.
Well, you know, I think in the case of that last clip, the person screaming, "Oh, God."
Yes.
I think it's almost, that could be a residual thing. It could be something that's being played back over and over and over again. I mean, because there definitely wasn't anything interactive about it. There was nobody there to interact with.
Yes.
And, I mean, that is what you would expect to find in a prison. Something being repeated over and over and over again because of, you know, the severe emotional state and the distress that was happening in that prison.
Well, in the case of leaving a recorder in a very silent place overnight, I would think that would be very easy. And in that case, you could do an extremely fast scan of a device to find out if you had recorded some sort of EVP, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you do it that way, you can. But like I said, the only problem is very rarely do we actually get anything recorded that way.
And you've tried it a lot?
What was that?
You've tried it a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did, especially when we first started this. We tried that, I would say, over 50% of the time, just leaving a recorder and seeing what would happen with it.
And having very poor results. So that means something about the human presence.
Yes.
Oh, so many questions and so few answers. All right, number 10.
Okay, we're going to move to Rollins Prison now.
That's in Rollins, Wyoming?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an old frontier prison that they have turned into a museum, and they do tours, and it's a wonderful place to experience as far as prison life goes.
I wouldn't choose. I'd use words like wonderful.
Well, it's really eye-opening, and I just to see. The thing was built back in the 1800s, and it was a frontier prison, and the military helped get it started, and then they used prisoners to work on a lot of the section of the prison.
Yes.
But you're going to hear Brendan talking to the prison director in this clip, and you will hear her ask the question, "What did you do with it?" And she was referring to a CD that he had made for the prison.
Okay.
And Brendan responds that he still got it because he makes backups of all of them.
Right.
And then this voice comes in and says, "I have to go now. I'm dead."
All right. Here we go.
Oh, I still got it. Do I make backups of all of them?
I have to go now. I'm dead. That's definitely what's said. That really is what's said. I don't see anybody can say it's anything else. Although there's a small, at least, ray of hope there, I suppose. I mean, as though somebody is realizing that they're not physically there anymore.
Exactly.
And it also seems to indicate that there's no real time wherever these souls or consciousnesses are residing. There's no real time. I mean, it could be 200 years later, and suddenly they're realizing they're dead, right?
That's correct. I really don't think that they have a concept of time. I mean, and if they do, it's definitely not the same one that we do. I think that they end up seeing things, you know, even though, like you said, 200 years later, things have changed. But I think, you know, like in The Sixth Sense, they end up seeing things how they want to see it.
All right, here it is. Here it is again, folks.
I still got it. Do I make backups of all of them?
So troubling. That is so troubling. I have to go now. I'm dead. Have you all ever had any other references to time or the passage of time or anything that would give us an idea that they feel a sense of time or a lack of it, a complete lack of it?
You know, not
that I can think of.
Not really, not like that, no. I mean, we've had evidence of, you know, in voices that addictions seem to carry over. I recall one voice that says, "I can't smoke."
And, oh, no.
You know, you could tell that this was a person that smoked in life, and the voice almost sounded like a smoker. And it was like they were so disheartened by the fact that they can't smoke anymore.
I understand. You mean the other side is a no-smoking zone? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, it just figures.
What's the world coming to?
Yeah, what's the world coming to is right. God. All right, you guys, hold on. We're at the top of the hour. Yeah, probably be a sign with a burning cigarette, a little circle with a thing through it up there as you go through the pearlies, you know. And they call it heaven, huh? From the high desert in the middle of the night, listening to voices from the other side, maybe the dead. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Stay right where you are.
Oh.
fair warning, ladies and gentlemen. Electronic voice phenomena. Listen at your own risk.
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Perhaps a little humor here. We've got this cat. You've seen pictures of him plenty of times, named Yeti. And boy, is he a smart cat. He's just really, you know, you can see his little brain ticking away. And so I went in there. I was joking around with him in Ramona's hobby room, which is next to mine, during this last break. And I bent my head down, got down on my hands and knees, and put my face in his bowl of science diet pellets. And I looked up at him, and he looked at me like, what the hell? It wasn't enough. So I went back. I put my face back in, and I took a science diet pellet on my tongue, and I ate it. By the way, they're not bad. They're not good, but they're not really bad. And boy, did I get a look. I mean, if I'd had a camera, you'd have a picture right now worth $1 million. His little face screwed up, and it was like, whoa, I've never seen a human do that before. I wonder if that was for young cats. I wonder if the pellets for the older cats have a different taste. Anyway, welcome back, you two. We'll continue to scare people to death. A good question from somebody named Shay in Sacramento. Ever had a ghost identify themselves by a name, first, last name, anything like that, identification of any kind?
Oh, yeah. Yes,
we have.
Really?
I had one say, I'm Lewis, and another one said, Arthur.
Arthur.
And I seem to remember playing that on your show, and you didn't like that too much.
I don't think I did, yeah. All right. We got
the name Alma Berg also.
Oh, that's right.
Alma Berg. Did you trace that then to when you have a first and last name? That's really something.
Actually,
yes,
we did find
a
headstone
there
in the cemetery that we recorded that.
Alma Berg. I remember the name. Okay. We've got to move here. We've been slow. 11.
All right. Now, this was recorded in the courtyard of the Rollins Prison.
Mm-hmm.
And on this clip, I was asking the prison director that was walking around with us if the inmates were ever tortured here, because we had found that a lot of the prisons we'd been to, that the inmates were tortured, you know, frequently when back in the day when it was a territorial prison. And you're going to hear her say, we know that there was a dungeon here.
Mm-hmm.
And then she asks us, have you guys ever read the diary we sell called Sweet Smell of Sagebrush? And then I'm going to say no. And then she continues saying, well, the Sweet Smell of Sagebrush is Stanley Hudson, and he was here. And at this point, you're going to hear the beginning of two screams.
Screams.
And it sounds like it's in the background, and it's behind her talking.
Uh-huh.
And then she finishes up and says, so we know that there was a dungeon here.
Oh, my goodness. Does that happen frequently, by the way, that an EVP occurs while somebody else is speaking?
Yeah, much more frequently than we would like.
A lot.
Here it is, folks.
We know that there is a dungeon. Have you guys ever read that diary we sell, Sweet Smell Sagebrush?
No.
Well, Sweet Smell Sagebrush is Stanley Hudson. He's here four different times, and he talks about the dungeon. So we know that there was a dungeon.
He was an inmate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Four times. Four different times. And he talks about the dungeon. So we know that four different times. And he talks about the dungeon.
Oh, my God. That's awful. That's absolutely awful. That is a tortured scream. That's like somebody getting whipped.
Yes.
Now, the sagebrush, the sweet smell of sagebrush, again, referred to...
A book.
It was a book. It was actually a diary of one of the inmates. And as you hear in the clip, he was incarcerated there four separate times. So he wasn't the smartest of inmates, but he did write about the dungeon. We had later read excerpts from the book after we heard about this.
Boy, you really brought it on tonight. Here it is again.
We know that there is a dungeon. Have you guys ever read that diary we sell, Sweet Smell Sagebrush?
No.
Well, Sweet Smell Sagebrush is Stanley Hudson. We share four different kinds. And he talks about the dungeon. So we know that there was a dungeon.
And he was an inmate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Four times. Four different kinds. And he talks about the dungeon. So we know that four different kinds. And he talks about the dungeon. So we know that...
I had to, you know, I just had to turn my mic off. Otherwise I can't resist saying something. That was horrible.
Yes.
That was horrible.
That is a horrible scream. I hate that one.
You do?
Yes.
So some of these got to you, huh?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right. I guess we move on. God, that was awful. What do you have next?
This next one, this one was taped pretty close to the screaming when they were still walking out through the courtyard of the prison, and you're going to hear, the prison director was talking to Barry and Brendan about how the inmates had been handled after they died, and you're going to hear her explain that, she says, we also know that they were shipping bodies off to medical schools to use as cadavers. And then this strange voice comes in and says, yeah, we're warm.
Oh, God. Here we go.
We also know that they were shipping bodies off to medical schools to use as cadavers.
Yeah, we're warm.
I heard it.
Yeah, we're warm. Yeah, we're warm.
Well, they've really outdone themselves on these. Here you go again.
We also know that they were shipping bodies off to... medical schools to use as cadavers.
Yeah, we're young.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, God, that's awful. When you go into, I'm kind of surprised, frankly, that when you go into a lot of these facilities, you know, prisons and the other places you get morticians' homes, I know, that sort of thing, mausoleums. I'm frankly surprised that you're able to get permission. I mean, wouldn't a lot of people consider this to be pretty negative publicity?
You'd be surprised how many people actually say, yeah, you can come in because we do acknowledge something's happening here, but they don't want the name of the location mentioned. As far as the Rawlins Prison and Deer Lodge Prison, it is well known around the towns, both Rawlins and Deer Lodge, that these places are haunted. So they really don't have anything to hide. But, you know, we'll go to hotels, and the hotel won't want the name mentioned.
I would certainly think not, yes.
Yeah, and,
that's,
I mean,
probably one of our hardest things, yeah, though, is to gain access to locations.
Who generally approaches the owner or the manager?
Out of our group, you mean?
Yes.
Most of the time it's me, but not always. I mean, if somebody happens to have the occasion to go and ask, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, all they can do is say no.
Well, that's quite right. All right, let's move on.
All right. Now, this clip, we're going to do a test with this. I'm not actually going to say what this voice says.
All right.
But I'll set it up for you. This was recorded in a mausoleum. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier about equipment malfunctioning. Because what had happened is there was the four members of the GIS in this mausoleum.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were all downstairs in the basement of the mausoleum.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking down the stairs thinking they're down there. And I should mention that I am one of the members that does not use an infrared camera. The other members do. I just use a recorder, EMF detector, and thermal scanner. So all I carry to see in the dark is a flashlight. Now, as I'm walking down these stairs, my flashlight went completely dead. And it did have brand new batteries in it, so it shouldn't have done that, but it did. I figured I knew this mausoleum well enough that I could walk down the stairs in the dark, find the light switch, turn it on, and I'd be fine.
Mm.
You're going to hear in this clip I didn't know what I was talking about, because I end up falling completely down the stairs. And I fall, the recorder flies out of my hand, and I say a word.
Did you bleep it out for me?
It's actually not bad enough, I don't think, to where you'd have to bleep
okay.
it.
Okay, all right.
And then you're going to hear this woman's voice come in.
If I'd fallen down the stairs, you'd have to bleep it.
Yeah, he contained himself really well.
I did. I was surprised when I listened to this how well I composed myself.
Anyway, so then a woman comes in?
Yeah, it sounds like a younger woman. And, uh-huh. you know, you're going to hear her concern in this.
And that is the voice we're hearing, right?
Yes, that's
not
correct.
Okay, here we go.
Damn it! Damn it! Oh,
wow. Oh, my God. So you're hearing him fall down the stairs is what you're hearing. Listen.
Damn it.
Yeah, sure. Obviously. Are you okay? Jeez. It was that was so directly responsive. You're sure that wasn't one of your group, right?
Well, that's what I was going to go on to say, is that once I did get down there and got the light turned on so I could see, I realized nobody else was in the basement, that they were actually outside, and I had gone the complete opposite direction trying to find them.
Now, wait a minute. Is that a child or is it a woman?
I almost do think it is a child.
One more time.
Damn it.
That's a kid. Sometimes a young lady, or even not so young, will call here, and I will think it's a child, just because some women have voices that do sound very childlike. And
yes, that's true. It's interesting that you just brought that up, because I just realized that at the top of those stairs is where they entombed the children. That was the children's section.
Oh. Huh. Oh. All right. Now, suddenly, for a moment at least, we are going to leave prisons and mausoleums, and we're going to move, I guess, to a private residence. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Why would you be at this particular private... I guess you're not going to name it, but why would you be here?
Because of activity taking place in this house.
Uh-huh.
The lady that lives there, it was just her and her father that live in this house. We investigated the house several different times. The father was never home when we were there.
And I think, you know, honestly, she was probably the most disturbed by the activity. Out of all the people we've come in contact with,
yes,
that have activity happening in their home, she was the most disturbed. I mean, it bothered her to a point where, I mean, she was just upset when she would talk to us about it.
All right, let's play this. Here we go.
This room is always cold, just walk in here, it is cold. I don't like this room. Every time I've slept in here, I've had nightmares.
Now, I'm not sure about that one. What they think it says is, go to bed, right?
Yes.
Go to bed. Now, everybody listen again. Now that I've told you, see if that's what you hear.
This room is always cold. Just walk in here, it is cold. Mm-hmm. I don't like this room. Every time I've slept in here, I've had nightmares.
Yeah, go to bed. But almost a mechanical sounding voice there.
It does, but also in the background, behind that voice, you can actually hear a camera winding.
Really? Really?
The noise
okay.
that you hear when that voice is being recorded is a camera, a disposable camera.
Oh. And you know, on several of the recordings, I meant to ask about this, I've heard a sort of a little sound.
Yeah, that possibly could be a camera.
Either the camera, or there was two of the prison clips where that sound is actually us walking through sagebrush.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so this lady obviously invited you in because she's got trouble in her house. Now, I guess I would like to say, at this point, you've got a website. We should give that out, incidentally. Your website is what?
The website is ghostpix.com.
That's ghostpix.com?
That's
yes.
Correct.
That's easy. Ghostpix.com. Now, if somebody like the lady that we just heard is having, is being haunted and they need your help, are there ways on the website, I would presume, for people to contact you for help?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can go on there and actually individually email each member of the site. You can also send a collective email to just the webmaster, and then from there it gets forwarded to every other member of the site also.
How many pleas for help do you get? I mean, do you get calls from people in Missouri or something saying, look, we're haunted, we'll pay your plane fare, get out here and help us?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we get calls from all over the country. I mean, we get emails from London to you know, ask us to investigate their apartment that they're living in. So, I mean, it's something that I think people, when they see our site and they see what we present, they suddenly become more comfortable with the fact of talking about the experiences that they've had.
Uh-huh. Do you frequently take people up on that and at least accept a plane fare and go and do what you can?
We have never... I don't recall ever being offered a plane fare anywhere.
No kidding, really? Really?
Really.
That's very surprising to me, although perhaps you all don't, you're not exorcists,
no.
Right?
Right. And we don't have all the answers. We're still, you know, there's things that change my theories on things, you know. I mean, people expect us to have answers, and we're very leery about people that have answers, you know, because I could make up anything that would sound good and reasonable and say that this is a fact, and I can't present myself that way.
Nor should you.
And I don't see any shame in saying that I don't know something. If we knew answers, it wouldn't be an unknown subject.
Have you ever attempted to help a spirit to move on?
Yes, we have.
Do you think with any success?
I think the only way we can really gauge that is by the fact that we haven't recorded that spirit's voice since. There was a time, I recall, that we got a voice saying, help me.
Yes.
And after we heard it, we went back to the location and said, we heard you on our tape. You wanted help. What can we do to help you?
Uh-huh.
And we never got another response from it.
Do you always attribute that to a spirit having moved on?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
So you think it's possible that spirits just move around randomly on occasion?
I think some of them do. I do think that they have the freedom within themselves to move about freely, go from one place to another. Although most ghosts typically are experienced at one location, you know, in a certain location.
Uh-huh. Well, there's that old thing about sort of staying in the very area where you died. How about suicide? Do you recall getting any EVPs that confirmed that you were hearing the voice of somebody who committed suicide?
Yes. Me and my husband recorded EVP. He was a very good friend of ours that committed suicide. And the family started having activity after that in the house, and they asked us to come there and see if it was him.
And you confirmed it?
Yes.
And they remained living in the house?
No. They've left all, and that was probably about 7-8 years ago.
Oh,
and
I'd be so out of there.
Well, they can't keep the house It's up on the market right now.
I'm with them. That's what I do, too. All right, hold on.
People don't stay.
We're at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back. The GIS are here tonight, and it's pretty heady stuff they've got with them. I'm Art Bell.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com. Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Man, these girls can sing, can't they? Good morning, everybody. I am Art Bell, and tomorrow night is the annual Ghost to Ghost program. Not Coast to Coast, but Ghost to Ghost. It's entirely caller-driven, much as tonight has not been. Tomorrow night will be entirely caller-driven. And tomorrow night, I'm going to be looking for people who have been attacked by entities. That's right. And no fooling around with this. I want to hear from people who have been actually attacked in some manner by an entity. So if that's you, if you've had that experience, and I know many have, that's what I'm going to be looking for. And I'm also going to ask those of you who have a story of this nature, or a really good ghost story, and there are many very good ones, that you try and make it to a corded phone and not use a cell phone. So tomorrow night, the one single night that we devote to an entirely caller-driven program on the subject of ghosts, particularly, once again, those people who have been attacked by an entity. And I ask that if you're one of those people, that you try and make it to a corded telephone instead of a cell phone, making the quality ever so much better. That in mind, that's tomorrow night. Usual time. As they say, same time, same station. You're listening to two people, Brennan Cook and Barbara Macbeth, who devote their lives to recording the voices of the dead. And you do firmly believe that's what you're recording, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. We've not gone quickly enough. So number 15.
All right. Now, this was recorded in another private residence. And what you're going to hear me say is, where did I put that? And I'm referring to a camera that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to hear a young boy say, I was sick.
Really?
Now, this used to be a doctor's office. It was built in the 1800s by a doctor. And he ran his doctor's office out of this house before it was later turned into a photography studio.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
That's a little difficult to make out, but I think the word sick is quite clear. One more time. That one's tough to make out, isn't it?
A little bit, yes.
So I'm not sure. You know, suppose I were to suggest something else. Suppose I were to suggest that the voice is saying, have a seat. Now listen to it. Maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm just trying to, you know, demonstrate the power of suggestion. It is strong. Some of these, however, are unambiguous. We're now going to move, oh, wonderful, right into a mortician's home.
Yes.
Yes.
He had been experiencing quite a bit of activity in his house. It was quite unnerving to him and his wife. And me and Brendan were down in the basement of the home, and you're going to hear me ask, can you tell me who you are? My name is Barbara, and this is Brendan. And after this, you're going to hear a small child say, I'm three. And then Brendan asks, how old are you?
Huh. So many times the answer comes before the question. That's really weird. Here you go.
Can you tell me who you are? My name is Barbara, and this is Brendan.
I'm three.
Wow.
How old are you?
I'm three.
Wow, that's a knockout. That you know, that indicates that that they may have read your mind. I mean, what other answer is there to that one?
Yeah, there really isn't one.
Right. Listen again, folks. This is a good or a bad one, depending on your point of view.
Can you tell me who you are? My name is Barbara, and this is Brendan.
I'm
three. How old are you?
I'm three.
God, that's good. That's so good. That's so clear. That's so worrisome. Yeah, I'm three. What would a three-year-old be doing stuck anywhere? All right, next one.
All right, now this was also recorded at the mortician's house.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually recorded outside. I was going outside to get some more equipment from the car, and you'll hear the wind blowing and all that. And then this woman's voice says, please run.
Huh. You know, I guess it's a good thing you can't hear these in real time, huh?
I don't know. If anything, if we heard them in real time, we may stay longer just because we know there is something there.
Yeah, maybe me. I'd run. Here we go. Yeah, please run. A woman's voice, no question about it. Please run. You can hear it's outside too. Listen. You know, the other thing is, there are people say, "Well, you're picking up part of a TV or a radio broadcast somehow or another." You know, obviously. That's not part of any TV or radio broadcast. That's just somebody saying something.
Oh, yeah.
Radio sounds exactly like radio.
That's
when
right.
When we have recorded radio, which we have,
mm-hmm.
you can tell that it's radio. There's no doubt. You can tell the disc jockey's voice, you know.
Absolutely.
There is no question about it.
People, in previous programs that we've done with all of you, we have encouraged people to go out on their own and to try this on your own. Now, it takes patience, and you must recognize that what you're hearing is a result of hours and hours and hours of attempts to get what you're hearing tonight. It sounds easy because we're playing one after the other, but it's not easy, and it does take a little time and patience. However, if you want to do this and prove it to yourself, you can do it. That's what we've said in past programs. Just go get, everybody keeps asking again, the kind of audio gear that you're using, Brendan, again, one more time, please.
Well, really, you know, you can spend as much or as little money on this as you want. Everybody has a tape recorder in their house that they could use.
Yes, but
the only thing is use a blank tape. Never use a pre-recorded tape.
If you're doing it on tape, if you're doing it on a hard drive, and again, what is it you're using, a hard drive?
It's the RCA 8011B. Yeah, the RCA 8011B.
8011B, RCA, all right. I just wanted to get that out. So, you know, if you doubt this, if you want to do your own investigation, folks, you can do it. You can either get that gear or you can use even a cassette recorder, as Barbara does, and you can prove to yourself that it works. And I've had all these emails over the years saying, oh, God, I laughed at this, or I thought it was baloney, in other words, and then I went out and tried it, and then people are sending me EVPs. So I'm sure there are people out there sending you EVPs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Number, what would it be, 18? Yes.
In this one, this is still at the mortician's home, and I was setting up equipment on the stairway, and you're going to hear me call out and say, right there, and Roger answers, yeah, and I say, okay. And then there's this creepiest voice. I can't tell if it's female or male.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, tell your friend to run.
Tell your friend to run. All right, here we go.
There?
No.
Okay. Hey, friend, run.
Now, is there any question about that? Not to me. It's tell your friend or your friends, I'm not sure about that part, to run. And if I heard that, I'd be running. Listen again.
There?
No.
Okay.
I'd be running.
Well, you know, if you couple that with the last voice that says, please run.
Yes.
And that was actually both recorded on the same night. Kind of makes you wonder what was going on in that house.
It sure does. Were you able to make any sense of that at all?
No, I mean, we didn't have anything malicious happen. I mean, it was a fairly good night. I mean, we got some decent EVP and some video.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't had anything aggressive or anything happen against them. Just the experiences that are taking place in the home just unravels them, you know.
It certainly would unravel me. You've got this website, GhostPix, GhostPix.com, which is probably right now overloaded, and there's more than just audio on there. I'm getting messages from, fast blast messages saying there's some extremely disturbing video up there as well.
Disturbing?
I don't know about disturbing.
That was the word they used.
I believe we have 24 videos that we offer on our website.
Uh-huh.
It's all, everything's free of charge. Just go up there and use all our bandwidth if you want. But,
you've got to consider that what may not be disturbing for you folks may be very disturbing for some of the rest of us.
I can't even imagine what would be disturbing.
I can't.
I really can't.
The only thing I could see is maybe we do have a video of a walking woman, which was an apparition that passed in front of Barbara and one other investigator. It's an old school that we were investigating.
Oh, yeah.
That's really the only video I could think that somebody might call disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, to a lot of people, seeing an apparition or hearing an apparition's voice is disturbing. I don't care what it says. they're just not used to it. I mean, you two are used to going after and hearing these sorts of things. Most people aren't. All right. Yes. Number 19.
All right. Now, this one, this was at a business in Evanston, Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
And the employees that were in this, that were working in this business late at night, would hear people walking around the floor that, you know, they'd go search for them and wouldn't find anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, one night, heard somebody knocking all the merchandise off shelves. And they went to go see, you know, where this mess had come from and clean it up, and there was nothing out of place. But what you're going to hear in this clip is one of the bosses of this business is saying, well, you don't really need me to stay, though, do you? Or do you want me to stay? And he's asking us, basically, do we want him to stay around while we do the investigation? And it sounds like this kid says, please stay here. And it's very syllabic, and it almost reminds me of when you hear somebody who's deaf, when they try and talk, that's what it sounds like.
All right. I think most people are familiar with that. Here you go.
Well, you don't really need me to stay, though, do you? Or do you want me to stay?
Please stay here. It's a child's voice again, obviously. A little more indistinct, a little harder to decipher, but I do think that's what's said.
Well, you don't really need me to stay, though, do you? Or do you want me to stay?
Please stay here. That's what it sounds like. A plea from a child. I have a... Brendan, you carry something to detect the strength of electromagnetic fields, right?
That's correct, yes.
I heard that earlier. Is there... Are you able to relate, as you carry this meter around, Brendan, levels of EMF activity? Is there one level required for the projection of a voice, an even larger level required for the projection of something visual? And yet, even a if things are getting thrown around the room, I don't know if you've ever been in an area where things start moving around the room, but I would think it would take a great deal of electromagnetic force to do that.
Yeah, it would, and that leads to why we do use that equipment. But it's unfortunately not as simple as that. It's not as simple as correlating a certain level of electromagnetic field to, you know, some kind of manifestation that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, it seems to be, at least on our end, around the 9 to 13 milligauss mark is where, you know, if that's not a constant reading in the location, it seems that that starts causing activity and manifestations either on video or EVP.
Okay. So I've got that kind of a mind. I'm always trying to relate, you know, something to something. In other words, the amount of electromagnetic activity, which you're thankfully measuring, to what's happening. But it's sort of a general level of activity, huh?
It is. I mean, you can't really correlate it to any one specific level for a certain manifestation. I mean, I wish it would work that way, but we haven't found that yet.
Okay. All right. The last one, number 20.
This was recorded in a cemetery,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking to the other GIS members about a previous investigation that we had been on, and you're going to hear me say, and I walked into the kitchen and said, is there anything, or is there something that we can do to help you?
Mm-hmm.
And this voice was recorded that says, they followed you.
Okay, here you go.
And I walked in the kitchen, I said, is there something that we can do to help you? They followed you.
Wow, is that ever clear? They followed you. They followed ya is absolutely clear. Listen yourself. Some are quite unambiguous. This is one of those. They followed you is quite clear.
And I walked in the kitchen, I said, is there something that we can do to help you? They followed you.
That's very clear. That's very clear. When you come home from, a prison or a mausoleum or something, How many hours typically do you spend evaluating what you've got?
Well, you know, if you figure, especially in the case of a prison where we spend, you know, an entire night and, you know, countless hours on digital recorder and then couple that with videotape.
You double the time,
yeah,
at least.
And then with videotape, you triple it. So you're spending that much time again listening to the audio, and then you're spending that much time again watching the video.
And then once you've got the audio and or the video, you've got to sit down and try and discern what was said.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or and what then, you're seeing.
That's correct. And then from there, we'll sit. I mean, normally it consists of going through the video and the audio. Once we find something, we'll all sit around Barbara's table, discuss it, talk about what it says and all that. And then from there, transfer it onto the computer and present on the website or on your show.
Well, this sure is an awful lot for people to think about. And I always sort of picture that, you know, truck driver out driving across the dark plains in middle America somewhere listening to this and just not quite being the same for a while.
Yeah, we get contacted a lot from truck drivers and police officers.
Yes, I'm sure you do. A lot of them are out there on the third shift.
Yeah,
it's listen if you dare, and I warn them. So listen, once again, as always, I want to thank you two. You do incredible work. You really do.
Well, thank you, Art.
And, you know, just keep cranking them out, and we'll have you back before the end of the year.
All right.
All right?
Sounds great.
All right. Good night, you two.
Good night.
The GIS. That's the GIS, folks. And if you stuck through this whole program tonight, then, well, I'm proud of you. Listen, tomorrow night, the annual Ghost to Ghost program. Remember, I'm going to be looking for people who have had, negative experiences with entities. I'm also going to be looking for people attached to corded telephones rather than a cell phone from the high desert. I'm Art Bell. Good night.